As an 18-year-old, you're learning how to mold your life into something you would be happy with. King's gave me the space and the support to do that.
King's is like a soft place to land in the city. If you can make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere.
A Christian school in this place has a profound influence, a multiplier effect on the rest of the world.
Don't just move into a dorm. Grow in New York City. Don't just go to college. Come to King's.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday to you, America. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be. September 29th. Wow. Have we got a lot going on today? And we're also following these developments out of Florida and just some pretty terrible things that we are learning. Of course, they had the sheriff from Lee County, Florida. That's the Fort Myers area. And he was on Good Morning America, said that they believe there are hundreds of people who died and there are thousands of people who are stranded and they're waiting to be rescued. So there's just a lot of destruction and devastation in the Florida area. And we certainly want to hear from you. I know our good friend Mark from the Villages will probably be calling in. We've been asking him to keep tabs on what's happening. Of course, he's, I believe, in the Orlando area. All you folks in the Carolinas, Georgia, you are in the crosshairs as well. Certainly, the storm not as powerful, but still, you know, you just can't take chances in this kind of stuff. I mean, it's this is a pretty serious situation. And I will say this, that one of the challenges we faced, if in fact the death toll is that high, it would be one of the deadliest storms since Hurricane Katrina. And a lot of people are wondering, well, why didn't these people leave? Why didn't the people evacuate? And I want to answer that question here. I believe that the weather forecasters, and specifically the Weather Channel, bear responsibility for a lot of this. They have turned the average storm. If it rains, if there's a snowflake, all of a sudden it becomes some sort of a breaking news alert. And how many times have we seen the hype of these storms, and then the hype does not turn out to be the reality? And so a lot of people, after a while, let's just say, and because we've seen this happen, where in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, every time you had a tropical storm, it became the storm of the century. Every storm is the storm of the century. And you've got these people, and you pack up the station wagon. Yeah, I know. Nobody owns a station wagon, Grace Baker, but the SUV. You pack up the SUV. You put Fluffy in the car. You pack in the wife and the kids, and then you're off to a hotel somewhere to wait out the storm. And then you find out that the storm was not that big of a deal. But then the next storm comes along, and you pack up the SUV, you pack up Fluffy and the wife and the kids, and you head out again, and then you find out that storm's not such a big deal. So when the next storm comes, what do you do? Well, I think a lot of people made the decision, you know what, fool me once, shame on you. And they decided to stay put. Now, I certainly hope, and this is one of those times where you really do hope, that the sheriff got bad information. But George Snuffleupagus over at ABC, Good Morning America, he too was shocked when he heard those numbers. And so he stopped and he actually went back and he asked it again. And the sheriff said, we believe, based on their information, that hundreds of people have died. And when you see that storm surge, I mean, I saw some video of a guy. He was filming from his home and he said, This is the third floor. He was taking it from the third floor window, and the water was already up clearly past the second floor. I mean, this was some sort of a storm surge. that happened. So anyway, if you're in Florida, maybe you have family that's down there. If you've been able to check on them, we want to hear from you. Edward Graham, by the way, from Samaritan's Purse is going to join us. They've already started mobilizing relief teams to head down there, and it's going to be a tough situation. You people in the Carolinas, you're going to get the flooding. And that is a very bad thing as well. So we're also going to be checking in with Major Kendall Dunn. Major Dunn, one of the people who flies into the hurricane, one of the hurricane hunters. So we're going to be talking to Major Kendall Dunn of the 53rd Weather Recon later on the program. And we've got a lot of politics, and that's what we're going to start out with today. By the way, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That number again, 844-747-8868. Now, look, a couple of days ago, it was actually almost a week ago, that Kevin McCarthy rolled out the commitment to America. They were very light on specifics, but everybody appeared to be unified. And we heard from Scott Perry, who's the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and Scott Perry and his guys signed off on all of this, and they believed it to be a good thing. The only specifics we got out of it, they're planning on immediately getting rid of the 87,000 IRS agents, and they're going to support the hiring of 200,000 police officers. Well, the question is, was that good enough? Did that move the needle with voters? And I'm curious to hear from you as well on this. Did the commitment to America move your needle? A majority of Americans actually support the core principles, but there's just not a lot of specifics. And Tucker Carlson was weighing in on this the other night on Fox News Channel, and he said, hey, look, there's really nothing here. It's just a lot of words. Here are some of the key findings in this Trafalgar survey that just came out, and we're going to be speaking with Mark Meckler from the Convention of States in just a little while. But according to the findings of this survey, 49.8% do not believe that McCarthy made a strong enough case as to why Republicans should earn support in the midterm elections. 33% of voters believe McCarthy made a strong enough case for Republicans to earn their support. That's not a large number. Now, the question is, what about independent voters? That's the big question. 55% of voters say they are more likely to vote for a candidate who supports the commitment to America agenda, but it has to include a parental bill of rights legislation, and that gives parents the ability to see their kids' school curriculum. It also protects their kids' privacy. I like that. As they did a deeper dive, and we're going to get into more of this throughout the program, 61.8% of voters say they are more likely to vote for a candidate in the midterms who supports the commitment to America, but it has to include a plan to increase domestic oil and gas production in America. So there are some key issues here that are impacting voters, and I think the concern from a lot of folks is that there just were not specifics. I don't think the issue is that they oppose the Republicans. I think the American people are looking for a way to are looking for reasons to support the Republicans. They're looking for ways to get out there and actively campaign. In other words, they want to be excited about something. They want to be charged up. They want to be fired up. I mean, we've all seen President Trump at the Save America rallies. That's the kind of enthusiasm that the Republicans have to come up with. And it's going to be a hard look. I get it. It's going to be a hard sell. But they got to get out there, and they've got to convey a very specific message. My recommendation was let's pick three things, 3 to 5 things, no more than 5, 3 to 5 things. What are the big issues? And crime has to be topping that list. Everybody's dealing with that. So anyway, I'm curious, what about you? Are you fired up over the commitment to America? What is it? What is it that Republicans need to do to win the midterm elections. We have a lot of political strategists that listen to this radio program. And you never know when something you might say might end up swaying somebody's mind, somebody's decision when it comes to campaign strategy. I mean, we've seen that happen over and over and over again. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The website, ToddStearns.com. Now, listen up. Our guys are posting videos, photos, stories throughout the day regarding the hurricane. We're not going to overwhelm you with separate stories, so we're putting them all in one big posting that will be updated throughout the day at ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back, America. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Y'all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, our good friend, wants to give back exclusively to our listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. You better order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable, and they have a cool, crisp feel. And they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so you better order right now. Call 1-800-986-3994 and use the promo code STEARNS. That's 1-800-986-3994. Or you can go to MyPillow.com/STEARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STEARNS and use the promo code STEARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So great to have you with us. And again, we're following some crazy developments out of Florida. This is the sheriff from Lee County. He was on Good Morning America, and he dropped this bombshell. Cut number one, please.
So it is heart-wrenching. I will tell you that we have made some rescues through waterways, and some we're not able to access. We have thousands of calls on 911 that are prioritized, and we're answering as we speak.
What do you know right now about injuries and fatalities, and do you have any sense, any estimate of how many people are left to be rescued?
So while I don't have confirmed numbers, I definitely know the fatalities are in the hundreds. There are thousands of people that are waiting to be rescued, and again, cannot give a true assessment until we're actually on scene assessing each scene, and we can't access people. That's the problem. We're accessing the bridges. We're seeing what's compromised and what's not. And this will be a life-changing event for the men and women that are responding. They're going to see things they've never seen before. So we're going to get together. You know, the Floridians, it's a great state. We have great people here, and everyone wants to help.
Fatalities in the hundreds?
So far, confirmed in the hundreds, meaning that we are responding to events, drownings, and again, unsure of the exact details because we are just starting to scratch the surface on this assessment. We're doing everything that we possibly can. Again, now it's to protect and preserve lives, and we are in full force doing that.
You say you're just starting to scratch the surface. How long do you think it's going to take to get up and running again?
Well, I'll tell you again, not knowing what we're faced with, it's very hard to give you an exact number and assessment, but I do know this road is long. This is not going to be something that's taken care of in the next day or two. This is going to be long-term for many reasons, not only just on the preservation of life and protecting and serving the law and order state, but it's going to be on the mechanical side, looking at these bridges, looking at roadways, working directly with the CEO of FPNL, and all the people coming together to make us get back where we need to be.
So there is a massive bridge that connects Sanibel Island with the mainland. And it is a huge, huge bridge. If you've been to Florida, you've been across this bridge, you've seen this bridge. There is a 60-foot chunk of the bridge that is gone, completely severed. And so now the people that are on the island are pretty much on their own. The only way to get to the island now is by boat, or I guess helicopter. But there's really no way to check on the people that are there. Grace, I was watching the videos. It was just insane. You actually had houses. The storm surge was so powerful, it was sweeping houses off of their foundations.
It's insane. It honestly looks like something out of a movie. Some of the videos I've seen, I'm like, is this real? But it is real. I mean, it's absolutely catastrophic. I mean, just praying for those people, because I cannot imagine going through that.
Steve Harrigan is down there with Fox, and he said everything is gone. I mean, it's just gone. It's like
decimated.
And the problem is, it's not the houses. If the houses were being blown away, what about all those mobile homes down there?
Because
I mean, there were just thousands and thousands, and you know, senior citizens, snowbirds moving down, spending their retirement years. They buy and those are very nice trailer parks down there, and they're all senior citizens living there.
And I just keep thinking about the small businesses down there, because they're just being destroyed. And rebuilding that is no small feat. That will take forever.
500-year flood. That's what Governor DeSantis is calling it. 500-year flood.
Terrible.
Did you hear this story, though? There was a weather guy. This is bizarre. So they got a weather guy, and he's down there, and he's doing a report, and there's this poor little kitten. You know, I'm not a big cat person.
Me neither.
But I'm sympathetic. I mean, if I'm in the middle of a hurricane, I, Todd Starnes, will save the kitty cat.
That would be a viral video.
So there's a guy. Well, there's a viral video. This guy, he's a weather forecaster, and there was a cat, and the little cat was stuck on this park bench. The water was coming up, and they're talking about the poor cat, but the weather guy, and by the way, the water was not deep. It was like maybe ankle deep. Nobody went out to save the cat.
Oh, poor little Tommy.
Dylan Federico is the meteorologist for WINK, Wink TV, and they're doing the live video. I don't know. Were they planning on watching the cat drown in real time?
No, it's terrible.
So anyway, the guy. So he deleted the original video because he's getting crucified.
Oh,
and you know those cat lovers.
Oh, the pedo people.
Oh, but well, even I think the cat lovers are more aggressive than the pedo people when it comes to their cats.
Yeah, you don't mess with the cat lady.
So the guy deleted the original video that caused all the controversy, and then he posted another video that showed him, I guess, inside wherever they were located. And how the storm surge was like, what, 2 or 3 feet deep. And he talked about how he had tried to go out there and rescue the cat when the cameras were off.
Oh.
Very astute viewers, though, because they realized when he posted the photo showing how high the water was getting, he was in dry clothing and his sneakers are stark white.
Something doesn't add up there.
Something's not adding up. And I don't see any kitty cat scratches. Because I'll say this about the cats. But again, I, Todd Starnes, and a humanitarian and a kitty cat-tarian.
There you go.
And I will, a feline-tarian. And if I saw, but you know what happens. When you try to rescue a cat, the dogs are very grateful. They'll lick you.
They'll cling to you.
And they'll hug you. And they'll lick you. The cat will scratch the living daylights out of you.
And then afterward, maybe we'll rub up against you and purr.
Oh, I don't think they will. I mean, they're
depends.
Just very, yeah, they're very.
The best cats are ones that act like dogs.
But you know what? I think, though, honest to goodness, if I, Todd Starnes, had been down there and I had waded into the floodwaters to rescue the cat and I came out looking like Freddy Krueger had just, you know, brutalized me.
Oh, my.
I think I would be offered a primetime spot on Fox News Channel.
This is true.
Todd Starnes, feline hero, or hero of the feline community. Yes, that's it. Todd Starnes.
That is quite the image in my head.
But I'd rather rescue a dog.
Yeah, dogs are a little more, like you
said,
grateful.
Which, by the way, our good friend Matt Finn, who is a Fox News anchor, and I've known Matt for years, you know, they sent him down to the border, and Matt Finn, he was down on the border, and there were these abandoned puppies down there. And Matt Finn actually rescued the puppy, and then he discovered there were more puppies. And so he's rescuing. So he's become like this.
It's like 101 Dalmatians.
Puppy savior, yes. I mean, it's, and of course, people are falling all over themselves because he's rescuing the puppy. So clearly, that's what happens when you have, that's the difference between a conservative news reporter and some meteorologist.
True. He went into the danger.
All that to say. But anyway, yeah, we certainly, exactly. But here's my question for you, Grace Baker.
Okay.
They tell you evacuate. Would you have evacuated?
That's a good question. I think because I consider myself a rule follower, I would say yes. But I could understand being down there and hearing multiple times, this is it. This is the storm. And then being finally like, it's almost like the boy who cried wolf. You just don't listen finally. And this time it's like, oh, this was the real deal. Oops.
No, I think, I'm with you. I think a lot of other people felt the same way. It's the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
They hype these things. And we've seen, the Weather Channel where they had the graphics. This is the wall of water.
This is it. The eye of the storm.
And by the way, what were they telling us? And again, it's almost incredulous, but that there was 18 feet of water.
Yes.
Well, it turned out not to be. But it didn't need to be. I mean, 5 feet of water, that's gonna wash somebody
away.
That's
enough water,
but yeah. My understanding was about 8 to 10 feet. But regardless, it's the hype and the terror factor, just storm after storm after storm. And finally people say, I you know what? We're just gonna risk it. We're gonna chance it.
I mean, eventually people just block it out, right?
That's it. Well, anyway.
And then they miss it.
Thank you, Grace Baker.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, what would you do? Would you have evacuated? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns radio program, broadcasting from our bunker in Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, let's go to North Carolina. Ed on the talk station wants to weigh in on the bridge damage down there in Florida. All right, Ed, what's going on?
Good morning, Todd, or good afternoon. Yeah, people seem to forget during Hurricane Katrina back in 2005, the twin span that went from New Orleans to St. Tammany Parish, it was two bridges, they call it the twin span, and so many sections of bridge were wiped out from the storm surge that they didn't have enough to build one bridge.
You know, I think it was Ed, actually, that was the bridge over Lake Pontchartrain, which I believe is one of the longest bridges in America.
There's two bridges to go over the lake. But the twin span, it was the shorter of the spans to go over. It was closer to Lake Bourne. So it had the biggest storm surge there. It was, came from Lake Bourne, the storm surge.
But, you know, it's interesting, Ed, and also the interstate from New Orleans along the Gulf Coast into Biloxi and what we affectionately call the Redneck Riviera. That was another area that got hit hard, knocked out those roads as well. No surprise there. Ed, got to run, though. Appreciate the call. And by the way, you know, in that whole story about Katrina, keep in mind it was not the hurricane that did all the damage in New Orleans. It was the levees that broke. That was the problem there. The big problem in Katrina was actually in Mississippi and Alabama, and the mainstream media pretty much ignored the catastrophic damage. The damage that was done in Mississippi and Alabama is the same kind of damage we are seeing happening in Florida right now. And the media completely ignored it because New Orleans was underwater. Just want to throw that out there, a little history reminder. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, though. We have a very important guest from Samaritan's Purse. We have Edward Graham. And Edward, we understand that you guys are already beginning to mobilize disaster relief units. Tell us what's going on.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having us on. Yeah, we already have our assessment teams that are down in Florida, and they're working with local churches to determine the best locations for us to go to in Central Florida. So, but this morning, we had a lot of our disaster relief equipment that is stationed and housed in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. It got on the road this morning, so it's headed down there to close the distance. And when the assessors confirm the right location and the church partners, they move in and the volunteers will start coming shortly in behind it.
Edward, what sort of work are you guys going to be doing when you get down to Florida?
Yeah, we've already heard from our teams down there. We know after hurricanes can be high wind damage. So we took a lot of our blue plastic tarp that we the volunteers will put on roofs to dry in these roofs. And then a lot of the homes are seeing a lot of flooding. And so the volunteers will go in, they'll muck this mud and this salt water, this brackish water out of the homes. They'll cut back drywall. This is to prevent mold. So you want to get all the wet stuff out and dry that house in. And that way the mold doesn't come in, and it allows those that are going to come in with the insurance companies so they can rebuild quickly.
Edward, we also understand from the sheriff of Lee County, he was on Good Morning America today talking about the death toll, and we certainly hope those numbers are wrong, but they're saying a lot of people may have lost their lives down there. Are you guys prepared for that as well?
Yeah, you know, we leave all the kind of rescue stuff to the local authorities. And so when we go in there, we work through the local authority. We don't want to get in there before they're ready. We want to make sure the place is safe and secure because we do use volunteer labor. We work through the local church. But unfortunately, you were just talking, you know, about Katrina. You know, that was the thing where many volunteers and people that are working down there, they found bodies for quite some time. But it's my prayer for the safety of the people that are down there, for the community. My prayers, they got out, and for those that stayed behind, that they're okay in getting rescued.
Now,
but we're praying for Central Florida.
And it's also my understanding that you guys send chaplains in. And tell us about that, because that's something that's a bit unusual, but I think that's a very important thing that you guys do.
And my grandfather's organization, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, has something called the Rapid Response Chaplains, and that was born after 9/11. My dad had the idea there were not enough pastors in New York City and in D.C. to take care of those, especially those that are credentialed to go into man-made disasters, but also natural disasters. They get in with FEMA and or get behind the local authorities, and if they're credentialed, they can get behind sometimes secure lines. And so they're trained on how to share in hope in crisis. What the chaplains do, they go alongside our volunteers. Our volunteers wear orange shirts with Samaritan's Purse, so they can easily be identified for safety reasons. But these blue shirt chaplains from the Billy Graham Association just go and listen to the homeowner. While we're volunteering and mucking out their home, that homeowner is distraught. It's lost, or, you know, its house was damaged. It may have lost loved ones or pets, and they're just brokenhearted. Everything they've worked for is gone. And the chaplains listen. And they, when they ask, why are you here? Well, we're here because we love you. And as much as we love you, Jesus loves you more. We don't want people to think that God is forsaken there and all this. We want them to know the truth. Just like the story of the Good Samaritan, we meet their immediate needs with shelter, food, you know, pay for transportation if need be. But the most important part of that story is at the end of it, a debt had to be paid. And that man paid the innkeeper. But that debt is the debt of Jesus Christ. And we want that homeowner to know that Jesus Christ loves them.
I think it's so important what you guys are doing. And people need to know that when they donate, and that's how you guys are able to do all of this. You just mentioned volunteers that are giving of their time and their resources. SamaritansPurse.org is the website. And you guys welcome people. If they want to donate $5 or $5,000, that money is going to a very important and worthwhile cause.
Yeah, you can get, like you said, you can go to our website, SamaritansPurse.org, to find out information, but we covet your prayers. I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. So pray for Florida and the continuation of the storm, whether it comes up through South Carolina or Georgia. Pray for those that are still in its path. But we also need volunteers. We work off the volunteer army. And so we always go through a local church. All of our equipment will be parked at a church. You live there and get housed there, but during the day you go out and work and serve the community. Because at some point when the job is done, Samaritan's Purse leaves, what does that local church look like? Is it thriving? Is it ministering to the community for those that were hurting and made great decisions to follow Christ? That's why we work through the church.
Edward, we've got about 30 seconds here. What kind of volunteers are you looking for? Some people might say, hey, I'm a construction worker, but I'm not a preacher. Can you still use me?
Yeah, I can take a construction worker, a school teacher, electrician. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you just want to move a shovel, pick up trash, debris, we take all kinds. Just we need people that are willing to love and serve others.
All right. And they can do that as well. Volunteer information is available at the website, too.
That it says SamaritansFirst.org. Go. It says get involved and the storm will come up and you click on it. And pretty much it's self-explanatory.
All right. I love that. And I lied, Edward. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't lie to anybody who's the grandson of Billy Graham. But we have 30 more seconds. What are you hearing? Are you hearing any reports from down in Florida? I know it's been about 24 hours since the storm hit.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of reports. My sister's actually from Fort Myers, and so we were able to get her out. Her husband is building a church for us up in Alaska. He's on his way down there. His family's home, his parents, was underwater, but theirs wasn't. My sister's and theirs wasn't. So it's mixed neighborhoods. So we know just like any storm, you'll go. That's the hard part. Some neighbors weren't affected. Your next-door neighbor could have lost everything. And sometimes it's survivor's guilt. And so we're down there to minister to those people that are hurting.
All right, Edward, we do have to wrap it up now. Again, SamaritansPurse.org. Edward, whatever you guys need, you let us know. We will get messages out to our listeners. And I suspect you're going to have a lot of people wanting to volunteer. God bless you. And God bless the great work of the volunteers already heading down to Florida. So, folks, again, SamaritansPurse.org. We have a link on our website as well. Got to take a break. We've got James Rosen from Newsmax coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's common sense conservative commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Hey, welcome, everybody. So glad to have you with us. Hour two of the big show. It was good to hear from Edward Graham. I like the guy. It's Billy Graham's grandson. And I wasn't pretty intentional. You don't want to just, Edward Graham has really established himself as a religious leader in his own right. But you never want to say, well, let's go to the grandson of Edward, of Billy Graham. But he brought it up. So he was that group and that family is doing some incredible ministry across the world. And I know that many of you do the Christmas shoe boxes, and they really do some very clever and powerful and impactful work around the world, and we certainly appreciate them. Let me explain what's going on here. James Rosen, who is the chief White House correspondent for Newsmax, is going to be joining us in just a few moments. We're waiting for President Biden to speak, and we think it's going to be about the hurricane, and we hope that he doesn't mention any more dead people thinking they are actually alive as he did yesterday. And I want to talk briefly about that. So we're going to have to we're going to be a little fluid is what I'm trying to get to this hour of the program. But I was getting some messages last night from people. Oh, my goodness. Todd, did you see the press conference? The White House press corps. They're turning on Biden. Finally, they see what. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm like, well, not just yet. Something's going on here. And I want to explain. I have a theory that I want to share with you about what happened yesterday. So look, Corinne Jean-Pierre, the black press secretary. No, I'm sorry. No. Corinne Jean-Pierre, the lesbian press secretary. No, what? There's one more. I'm sorry. Okay. She is the black lesbian immigrant press secretary. There we go. I'm going to get this one of these days, folks. Anyway, very important because she pointed this out when she was named to the position, that she was named because she is, in fact, a black lesbian immigrant. Anyway, she was catching holy fire yesterday for how Biden referenced and called out the late Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, thinking that she was in the crowd. Cut number six, please.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just on top of mind. This wasn't what we were able to witness today and what the president was able to lift up in this at this conference, at this event, was how her focus on wanting to deal with combat food insecurity in America. And this is something that he was lifting up and honoring. And again, he knows that he's going to see her family this coming Friday. There's a bill signing that's going to happen in renaming a VA clinic in Indiana after the late Congresswoman. He knows that he is going to see her family, and she was a top of mind.
Yeah, no, that's not it. And she knows that. Jean-Pierre knows that. And at some point, if you're the White House press secretary, you just have to kind of throw your hands up and say, look, people, come on, you know what's going on here, right? I mean, it may be the last thing you do at the White House, but at least you're honest with the reporters because everybody sees this, right? Well, the mainstream media, they just jumped all over this. I mean, they were going after Jean-Pierre. Cut number eight, please.
Can you explain where the mistake was made? Was the president confused? Was something written in the teleprompter that he didn't recognize? Can you just help us understand what happened?
I mean, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions.
No, the conclusion is the president of the United States thought a dead woman was alive. Cut number nine, please.
Be prepared to release the prepared remarks that the president had in teleprompter just so we could understand.
I'm not understanding why that would be necessary. We always share the remarks that the president had, even, you know, delivered. That's probably going to be up on the website. Not really sure what that has to do with anything. I just answered the question about her being on top of mind. I don't think that's unusual. I feel like many of us have gone through that particular time where someone is on top of mind and you call them out and you mention them, especially in this type of context. If you think about how he's going to see the family in 2 days, if you think about how when he sees them in 2 days, it's going to be for such an important moment, signing a piece of legislation that's going to rename a VA clinic in her state, that's important. If you think about this issue and how important this issue is, and he was, again, calling out the congressional champions for this particular issue.
Yeah, that's not it. Nobody was buying what she was selling. And there was one point in the press conference where, I mean, you had at least a half a dozen reporters shouting questions at her, talking about the slips, the mental slips. As a matter of fact, one reporter actually said they're getting worse. We're seeing more of these mental hiccups from the president. What's going on here? This is the guy that's got the finger on the button. Now, she keeps saying top of mind, top of mind, top of mind. Do you remember when you were a kid and you had the milk jug? And you got the milk jug. The milk was empty, so your mom washes it, and she gives you the milk jug to play with. And maybe you were going to make the milk jug, turn the milk jug into a piggy bank. And so what do? You put a couple of pennies and some quarters in there, and you've got, you know, I don't know what, a half a dozen coins in there. So then you put the lid back on the milk jug, and you shake that up, and the noise that the coins make, that's Joe Biden's brain. That's how Joe Biden's brain is working these days. And he can't help it. He's an old guy, and he is not aging well. Hate to say it. There's really no polite way to say it. He is not aging well. And a lot of people, and I'm not kidding, I've gotten more messages over that press conference than I have any other press conference. They're saying, Todd, do you think that the mainstream media finally gets it? No, they don't get it. They're the drive-by media. They don't get anything. You really think that it was a coincidence that the entire White House press corps suddenly woke up and realized that Joe Biden has dementia? You really think that happened? If so, I've got a bridge to Sanibel Island I want to sell you. It's, folks, do not buy what the mainstream media is trying to sell you. Now, here's what I suspect is going on. The Democrats are in a world of hurt. There is some new polling data out there, and we may have to get to this after our James Rosen conversation. But I will do my best to share this information with you. But there is new polling information, and this is really a compilation of other polling data. So this organization put together all the polling data, and they've determined, okay, here's what the election is going to look like. And our friend Jack Posobiec over at Human Events actually published this information, and it shows the Republicans retaking both the Senate and the House. And I think the Democrats know this is going to happen. That when you look at what's really going on with in the minds of the voters, it has nothing to do with abortion. That people are concerned about the economy. People are concerned about crime. They're concerned about the border, but they're not concerned about abortion. Abortion is not anywhere on the radar. Now, this is a group called Election Recon, and they've released their 2022 predictions. They believe the Senate is going to be in the control of the Republicans, 52% chance of them taking control, the Republicans gaining one seat, so it would be 51 seats for the Republicans, 49 seats for the Democrats, and you got to throw in the vice president there. She breaks the tie. There's an 88% chance that the Republicans retake the House. Republicans would gain 17 seats. The governors favored to retain their majority, 91% chance. This is looking like a massive tsunami. A political tsunami is about to hit Washington, D.C. And the Democrats know this, and they're looking for someone to blame. Now, we know that the Democrats know, and the mainstream media knows, that Joe Biden is touched in the head. We know that. Everybody knows that. But they're waiting for the right moment to play that 25th Amendment card. And right now, the groundwork is being laid. And I think that's what happened yesterday. Yes, yesterday was the moment. That was the trigger they were looking for. An event that was so horrific, there was no way to spin your way out of it. I mean, for goodness sakes, he called out a dead congresswoman and then suggested that, oh, maybe she's not here after. No, she's not here. She's 6 feet under, Mr. President. She's dead. We're not speaking ill of the dead. She's just dead. She's married. So everybody knows this, but this is the moment. This is the moment, and you watch what's going to happen here. Everybody's going to be turning on Biden. There's going to be you-know-what to pay for losing the Senate and the House. And Biden's going to have to – Biden is the guy. The buck stops with him. So all that to say, you folks better start getting ready to say the words, Madam President, because it's a-coming, folks. This is the groundwork. You saw it live on national television. You heard it on this radio program yesterday in real time. This is the moment when the media starts to turn, and we're going to see more and more people calling for Biden to be removed from office because he's clueless. Cheese slid off the cracker. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I also want to say again to the oil and gas executive, do not use this storm as an excuse to raise gasoline prices or gouge the American public. The price of oil has dropped in recent weeks. The price of gas should be going down as rapidly. It's not. My experts inform me the production of only about 160,000 barrels a day has been impacted by this storm. That's less than 2% of our country's daily production. Its small and temporary impact on oil production provides no excuse for price increases at the pump, period. If a gas station companies try to use this storm to raise prices, I'm going to ask officials to look into whether or not price gouging is going on. America is watching, and the industry should do the right thing. I expect.
And the FEMA administrator, who's become the MVP here these days, I spend a lot of time in this room, Griswell of FEMA and the entire workforce.
Yeah, not close, Mr. President, but that was not the FEMA administrator's name. Good try, though. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. The good news is that everyone the president did introduce at today's briefing happens to be alive. So we're making positive strides there. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us James Rosen. He is the chief White House correspondent for Newsmax. James, good to have you back on the program today.
Good to be back. Thank you, Tom.
James, I want to go back to yesterday. We were playing some of the audio, a lot of the audio. Were you surprised that other reporters were asking questions about that big gaffe involving the late Congresswoman Walorski?
No, I think it was a marked moment. And I don't think that the reportorial instincts of any reporter who's accredited by the White House Correspondents Association who sits in that room every day would fail to be aroused by a moment like that. So I'm not surprised that it was a focus of sustained questioning. I was surprised that the White House communications team thought that the answer crafted for Karine Jean-Pierre to issue, which she did with metronomic repetition, that the late Congresswoman Jackie Walorski was top of mind for the president. She was simply top of mind, and that's understandable that she might be top of mind. I think that was surprising, that the communications team thought that that would suffice. Frankly, the other path available to the communications team and to Karine Jean-Pierre was simply to say that the president misspoke. He regrets that error, and that all of us sometimes lapse in this age of digital sensory overload, and I think that would have let the oxygen out of that issue early on, and thereafter we would not have seen such sustained questioning.
No, I'm with you on that, James. And again, we have different roles to play. You're the news guy, and you know we're an opinion show. But you're right. I think if they would have addressed it that sort of way, I think at least from the news perspective, that would have resolved that issue. There was also another incident, what, in the Rose Garden, where it was a small stage and he just didn't know what to do. And the First Lady, and this is not the first time that's happened, he always just looks confused when he's up on that stage. Do you any idea what's going on there?
Look, I've spoken with sources inside the administration who report similar scenes of disorientation on the part of the president in various settings, and some of these have been visible to the public. I think there's been two different occasions where the president has sought to shake hands with people who are not standing there. And the White House, we should point out, always responds to any inquiries along these lines. And to my knowledge, I am the only reporter who has put such an inquiry directly to President Biden himself back in January. His aides always respond to inquiries along these lines by saying that the president is fully robust and engaged and that there's no issue with his cognitive faculties. But scenes like yesterday's are not good optics for the president in terms of reassuring Americans about that issue. And to the extent that Americans are concerned about it is manifest in the poll that I asked the president about back in January of this year, which ran in Politico. It was a Politico morning consult poll that found 49% of American voters disagreeing with the statement, Joe Biden is mentally fit. The same poll found not even a majority of Democrats willing strongly to affirm that statement. And so when events like these occur, I think they add to that perception that was reflected in that polling data. And when the White House crafts responses that are distinctly unsatisfactory to any sentient listener, I think they inadvertently wind up stoking that perception.
And that's, again, it was surprising to see the barrage of questioning on that particular issue. But again, to your point, it was there and it had to be addressed. And James, we are right up against a mandatory bottom of the hour break. We will see you again this evening and I suppose throughout the day on Newsmax. Thank you for the great work you do. All right, James Rosen, the chief White House correspondent. We may have lost James, not quite sure what happened there, but you can watch James throughout the day reporting not only on the White House reaction to what's happening with the hurricane and the recovery efforts, but also a number of national stories and international stories as well. We're following the Nord Stream pipeline controversy. There is so much fallout there. We're going to get to that story a little bit later on in this program. But there are some grave concerns that the United States and specifically the Biden administration might have had some sort of a role in the sabotage of that pipeline. As President Trump said, World War III. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. I'm really looking forward to this conversation here. We are monitoring the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, now a tropical storm. You folks, Georgia, the Carolinas, get ready because you're going to get a lot of wind, a lot of rain, and you guys know what to do in these storms. But I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us one of the famed hurricane hunters, Major Kendall Dunn with the 53rd Weather Recon Squadron. Major, good to have you on the program today.
Hey, how are you, sir? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you've been up there. You've been flying into hurricanes. What was it like flying into Ian?
About a week ago, it was pretty pleasant. Nothing too dramatic. You know, 30-mile-an-hour winds, nothing big, but few days later, it was a beast. Not a fun place to be. Be honest with you, I preferred not to be where I was the other day or yesterday. But it was a lot. Aircraft was climbing, descending at thousands of feet, pretty quick. Airspeed was the control range was out. The wind's just blowing so hard, your aircraft's just getting plummeted with gusts. So the aircraft thinks it's speeding up, but really, you're not doing much. It's just the wind itself's coming at it, slow down. It was just an absolute mess. Very turbulent. We had some people get a little sick, you can imagine. It was a lot going on.
Major, I'm curious, you know, was this unusual? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you guys are used to the rough weather, but from what I understand, this was pretty crazy up there this go around.
Well, you know, you hear people talk about around here, it's moments of boredom with, you know, hours of boredom with moments of terror. That was, it's pretty terrifying, you know, as a pilot, try to avoid bad weather. But, you know, we fly in the bad weather, so it's not unusual. But this was at the extreme edge of bad. It was rapidly intensifying when we got there. And that's reported to us by the National Hurricane Center as we're making our approach. And when we went into the eye wall, it's unfathomable, unexplainable. Everybody's felt some turbulence. Just imagine that by times 10. And the problem is, I'm not dependent on another pilot. It's me, you know, me and another guy. So you got to try to keep your wits and control it. And it was terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever been through. Prefer not to do it again, but I guess I'll forget about it and do it again.
Because that's what you do. That's the job.
Exactly.
I have incredible respect for the work you guys do. I get a little queasy on the Delta Airlines flight when we hit a bump. I can't even imagine what you guys were dealing with.
Yeah.
What was it like going through that eye wall?
Yeah, so, you know, going through the eye wall, when you're making your initial run in, we go in them at 10,000 feet, which gives us some altitude to deal with any descents. But we're making an initial run in, and, you know, from 100 miles out, you're already at 60-mile-an-hour winds, and you progressively get. We went through it the first time, it was lightning, like tons and tons of lightning, and it was dark. So it was like a paparazzi, just pop, pop, pow, and an immense amount of hail. You can't even imagine. It was like being behind a gravel truck pouring gravel out as we were going through it. Lightning popping. They said we might even been struck. Anyway, so you deal with that and you get an eye and lightning through the eye wall and you're like, man, we got to go through it again. But my second two passes, it was daytime, which makes it a little bit better. But at that point, you see the amount of rain and water that's on the aircraft. You look like you're underwater. I mean, if you can imagine it, it just, if you look, you ever seen a car go through deep water and the water washes over the windshield?
Oh, sure.
And we have to deal with that. And, you know, our operator's manual says don't go into heavy precipitation. We're basically an airborne submarine, in my opinion. And it gets your heart rate up, and then you're just getting kicked around. Aircraft's going 20 degrees, nose high, nose low, fighting that, trying to add power. It is an absolute mess.
So what are you guys doing up there? What kind of information, what kind of recon are you doing for the storm?
Yes, sir. So, you know, there's only basically 10, 11 planes in the whole world that do what we do. we have 10 WC-130Js, and then our sister service, uniform service, and NOAA, they have a P-3 that they fly in.
Oh, did we lose the – we may have lost the – oh, there we go, Major. I think we lost you, Major, but you're back.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, like our primary job is to find wind speed zero in the storm, and then from there, National Hurricane Center plots it, and then basically all the data that's given off our plane, they get that data, interpolate it, add it into the models. But we also have a weather officer in the back, drop sign operator, and we drop instruments out the bottom, and they look at that data, and we're getting wind speed – pressure, direction, humidity, and back to the National Hurricane Center, and helps them make their determinations, models, those things. So that storm, when we made our path, I talked to one of the forecasters, great guy, Dan, down there in Miami, and he said, hey, man, I was just about to put out a generic, you know, message from the Hurricane Center that it's a Cat 3, this and that. And he goes, and all of a sudden, y'all went through that eye wall, and we're getting reports that it was extreme turbulence, and then we got that drop sign, and anyway, all that information, they had to scramble to change their message that, hey, this is bad, prepare, you know, this is life or death kind of stuff, be prepared and leave if necessary.
Well, Major, we appreciate the great work you and your team are doing, and you're based out of what, Keesler, is that right, in Biloxi?
Biloxi, Mississippi, yes sir. Yeah, it's beautiful down here today, and it's just crazy to think in the world's worst weather you could be in, and now we're here enjoying sunshine.
The Redneck Riviera, as we call it,
it.
In the Starnes family. That's good. All right. Well, Major, God bless you. We're glad you're safe, and let's just hope you guys don't have to go up and do some recon on any more hurricanes this season.
Absolutely. Hey, we appreciate you reaching out to us.
All right, Major Kendall Dunn, ladies and gentlemen, from the Keesler Air Force Base, and doing great work, keeping a lot of people safe, thanks to all the work they're doing up there and putting their lives on the line every single day so that you can keep your family safe, and we certainly appreciate that. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Grace Baker, I just had a brilliant idea. This may be the best idea I've ever had.
I'm ready.
So, you know, Fox News, they sent a reporter up with the Major and the recon team.
Yeah.
And so maybe for the next hurricane, we could fly you down, and you could be the eyes and ears of the Todd Stearns radio program.
That's a horrible idea. I'm afraid of heights.
I think our audience would love that. You wouldn't even know you're up or down.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I'll be thrown up in that plane. I'm not going to lie.
Great. Can you get it on video? That'll go viral. I bet our audience would love that.
Oh, my word. I mean, it would be quite the adventure. I mean, who could say they've actually done that? A handful of people.
So years ago, I had wanted to do that. But
you wanted to be a storm chaser?
No, I wanted to go up on one of those planes.
Oh, okay.
But instead, they sent me up on a C-130, and it was a refueling mission over Reno, Lake Tahoe.
That doesn't sound as exciting.
It was pretty awesome. I mean, I was in the they have a jump seat in the back, where basically the plane pulls up underneath you, and there and the hose comes out, and they get their gas. And
okay, that does sound pretty
cool. I thought I was going to have to, like, you know, wash the window, but they don't do that.
Oh, okay. They have people who do that?
They have people who do. No, they don't have people that
kidding.
Do that. Well, okay. By the way, before we have to go to break here, and Mark from the Villages, we're going to get to him when we get back. Grace, you got some mail while you were on vacation.
I did.
Did you have a good vacation, by the way?
You know, I did have a good vacation.
Dollywood.
I'll just say I went up to the Chattanooga area, and it was very pretty, but I was a little bummed because the leaves hadn't quite started turning. You know, it was still green everywhere. And quick side note, I went on a hike that was supposed to be 2 miles. It turned into 4.5 miles. We had to trespass on someone's property and traverse a golf course.
Do you need bail money? Is that what you're getting
afraid.
At?
Well, I was a little, okay, at first I was afraid. I was like, oh no, we're up in the mountains. What if they like shoot us or something? And we start, you know, trespassing. They had a meditation station set up in their backyard.
Oh.
So I was like, these are a bunch of hippies. They probably don't have guns, so we're okay.
They've got that kind of, there is that patchouli vibe over there in East Tennessee.
Yeah, so it was okay, but we were exhausted.
You should have dropped by to say hello to Mike from Nuga Radio. We got radio stations all over that part
that
of the country.
That's what I was telling my friends.
So anyway, we get a letter, handwritten letter from Bill from Jefferson, Georgia. Bill listens to us on WDUN. It was a very kind note.
Beautiful note.
And
beautiful cursive.
Bill said, Bill said, Todd, you need to give Grace Baker a raise.
I like this guy.
Is he related to you?
No, he is not. I have no
His
family in
Georgia. His last
name
is not Baker?
No. Okay. It's not my mom. It's not my dad. It's not my cousin.
Just want to make sure. Anyway, he goes on to say, you know, Grace does a great job. She's worth every penny. And then he puts a check. He wrote a check.
I love it.
For $50.
That's a nice lunch.
And he said, Todd, I want you to take Grace out for lunch.
I like it. Thank you, Bill. That made my week, honestly.
Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A is good.
That's $50.
But we can get like the whole menu at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, we sure could. We get a sampler platter.
Let's do it.
I love it. All right, Bill, thank you for that.
Thank you,
very
Bill.
We have very nice listeners. Grace, very welcome generous. Back. We're so glad to have you back with us as well. You know, folks, all over America right now, faith-based groups, churches, homeless shelters, private schools, all under increasing pressure to cave on their deeply held beliefs. Local state governments encroaching on our God-given rights. Now, they can go to court, but defending against the lawsuits can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we've been telling you about these cases for a very long time now. Some of the cases go all the way to the Supreme Court, and they last for years. Look at some of the most recent cases. Coach Joe Kennedy, almost 5-6 years. Most people and most churches do not have the resources to fight for their rights in court. But thanks to donations from men and women like you, our audience, our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are actually able to provide first-class legal defense. And it doesn't cost the church, doesn't cost the client one dime. Folks, I've got an ADF banner, Alliance Defending Freedom banner, at my website, toddstearns.com. Matt Sharp of Alliance Defending Freedom tells us that he's encouraged that so many people like you are making donations to defend their religious freedom.
It gives me hope that there is a generation that is going to pick this up and keep fighting these battles. I think there are more opportunities than we've had in decades to advance religious liberty and free speech. And their contribution, whether small or large, helps to fund those efforts, helps us to take that extra case that can be the one that goes to the Supreme Court and sets the precedent that impacts every American. So every little bit, large or small, helps towards that larger battle to help secure these fundamental freedoms.
And folks, I want you to remember something. Alliance Defending Freedom never charges a dime to its clients. But in order to do that, they need our support. And I want you to go to toddstearns.com right now. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to make a generous tax-deductible donation. And right now, that impact of your first gift is going to be doubled right on the spot. And that's because of a matching grant from a generous ADF supporter. You can also call for your donation, 855-716-7461. That's 855-716-7461. Again, toddstearns.com. If you want to do it online, click on the ADF banner and you'll be able to make a donation that will help fight for religious liberty in America. We'll be right back. All right. Hello, people. Let's go right to the phones. 844-747-8868. Our official hurricane correspondent, Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, we don't have you strapped to a tree or anything, do we, out in the winds?
Well, I'm not surfing, that's for sure.
Oh, well, that's good. How are things?
Well, in the Villages, Fruitland Park in Leesburg, Florida, just 40 minutes north of Orlando, did well. I went and drove out and took a look at things around. It was just a rough night, and it was real hard for sleeping. The winds and rain were banging off the house. We thought the roof was going to come off of the darn house. We had a friend I was mentioning to you yesterday. I had to do a correction. I said he was 2,000 feet above sea level. He was actually 15 feet above sea level. He's in Inglewood. They took pretty much a direct hit. He says the things you got to take in consideration now is there's looting, snakes, and also alligators who's been hunkering down now, and they're hungry, you know? And so you've got to watch out for all that stuff now out here.
Mark, I saw some video of a guy that was literally swimming in his home. It was water was well over waist deep, and I'm thinking that guy has no idea what's in that water. And you're right, there are a lot of critters down there in Florida.
Yeah, and it's baiting season, and these alligators have been hunkered down for this storm, geez, and they're hungry, and you're out there jumping around in the water. That's crazy. I just, you know, Todd, I feel a lot of people just, you know, they just don't take it seriously. You know, they have a place to go. We had some friends that had a place to go, but they chose not to want to go there because they said, we've been here for years and it's never happened. You know, people don't understand. You have to take every single storm in Florida seriously, whether it's small or big. You have to take it seriously because you just don't know when that big one's going to hit, and you got to be ready and prepared for it.
And there's not a lot of high ground in that part of the country. That's the issue. There's really nowhere to go but north.
Yeah, and there is. You're right. We're fortunately in the middle of the state. So we've got everything. You know, we're just in that area that's the perfect location. You know, you've got Daytona, which is an hour and 20 minutes away. You've got Clearwater on the other side. You've got Orlando. It's within 40 minutes away. So we're right in the middle of the state. So we just kind of got very fortunate. But like I said, the winds were just horrendous last night. You know, some people got shingles torn off some of the houses. You know, there's a lot of manufactured homes, and you also got a lot of trailers out here. And I went out there and I drove around to see if anybody needed help, but they, for the most part in this area, fared real well. Everything was shut down, but for a couple places like a Hungry Howie's and a Wawa and a Save-A-Lot.
Well, the Waffle Houses were closed all over the place, and we know, according to the Waffle House Index, that is a bad sign. That means the apocalypse is upon you. Mark, real quick, on a serious note, you know, we heard the sheriff of Lee County come out on Good Morning America say hundreds of people died. You've got the sheriff of Charlotte County who refuses to say how many people died, but he was very somber and said, we just need a lot of prayers. Are y'all hearing pretty bad reports from down there?
Yeah, I'm hearing it. From the local news and everything. But the thing is that they just don't, again, they don't take it serious enough. When these people, and Ron DeSantis gets out there and says, you need to take it serious, you need to take it serious. And you don't need to be a thrill seeker and say, oh, I'm going to go parasailing in it, or I'm going to go surfing and do this. You need to take this serious. And now, unfortunately, there's a loss of life because they didn't heed the information that was given to them by DeSantis and the Weather Service and everything else. I mean, it's a serious issue, and yeah, we're probably going to have a lot of tragedy because of this.
It's a very bad story, and it's probably going to get a lot worse as the news reports filter in. Mark, we're glad you and your family are doing good, and you stay safe, and keep us updated if you hear any other intel.
I will. Thank you so much for all your prayers. We think the world of you, Todd, and whatever, but, you know, just everybody. Thank you so much.
All right. Mark from the Villages, ladies and gentlemen, our official, unofficial hurricane correspondent. We don't actually put our reporters out there in the, you know, during the middle of the storm. Good Lord. Folks, would you have evacuated? If you were down there and they said get out, what would you have done? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are so honored that you have chosen to hang out with us noon to 3 Eastern. A lot of choices on the noon to 3 talk radio buffet, but you picked us, and we are so thankful for that. Welcome to the show. I want to say a very special hello to our friends in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening to us on the great WSJS. Now, here's the deal, and every now and again, we do something nice for our listeners. If you're listening to us on WSJS today, and you call in, we're going to hook you up with a copy of my latest book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Let me give you the number. I was about to give out my personal phone number, Grace Baker. What's wrong with me? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Now, this is just for Winston-Salem, one of our brand-new affiliates, WSJS. Give us a call, 844-747-8868, and we will get you hooked up with a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Well, all right, a little while ago we told you about this this new survey out showing that a majority of Americans are just not, you know, the commitment to America, it's just not doing it for them. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the Convention of States. We're so excited to have our good friend Mark Meckler back with us. Mark, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you.
Were you surprised by the findings of this poll that people just aren't, you know, they're not really, the needle hasn't moved?
You know what's interesting, Todd, and you probably have this feeling like I do. I travel a lot, so I talk to a lot of grassroots folks. You're interacting with grassroots folks. So I feel like I am a grassroots guy. I have a pretty good feel, and people feel exactly like I felt. Like, yeah, I mean, it sounds like some nice stuff, but I'm not impressed or anything. And that's really exactly what we found. What we found is that it didn't move the majority of Americans. It really didn't move the needle at all, is what we found. We had polled before if they thought that the Republicans had earned their vote. And now we find that it's about the same. Almost 50% say they don't think that McCarthy and the Republicans made a strong case as to why they've earned our support.
A couple of things impressed me. They offered some specifics, not a lot, but there were two, talking about adding 200,000 police officers to the streets. That's a good thing. Getting rid of the 87,000 IRS agents, I think that's a great thing as well. But to your point, I just don't think there were a lot of things that actually connected, specifics that connected directly with the American voter.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of things that polled pretty well, and I think probably more than a couple, but the two that stand out to me, one is you got almost 62% of voters say that they're in favor of candidates who support the part of the plan which says we need to increase domestic oil and gas production. And I think the reason you see that number is because, look, everybody's hurting at the pump. Everybody's paying that price, other than maybe Biden and Harris. But if you drive up to the pump and you fill your own car, you are feeling that pain, and they understand the urgencies of domestic oil production. The second one, and I think this is a really important one for the Republican Party, is we had 55% in favor of a parents' rights bill, you know, a parents' rights legislation. And this is something they're promising. And I think parents have the right to see their kids' school curriculum. They have a right to protect their kids' privacy. As we saw in Virginia, with the new governor there, with Governor Youngkin, running on the idea that parents should actually participate in their kids' education is very popular. So on an individual basis, a lot of these things were popular. It's not that the ideas in it are bad or unpopular. I think it's more a feeling of, do we really believe that Republicans will actually do any of this stuff?
And that's a good question, Mark. I'm a writer. I'm an author of books. Words matter to me. And the wording of the actual the wording of the plan was always questionable for me. It wasn't, like Newt Gingrich, a contract. So we're signing our name to this. This is a binding contract with America. This was not that. This is not even a promise. It's a commitment. So I'm not quite sure if it carries the same weight. Maybe some verbiage there might want to be reworked.
Yeah, and I also think it's how it gets presented by McCarthy. I mean, McCarthy is about as milquetoast of a speaker as you can see. If you look up boring in the dictionary, you see him. And I hate to say it, but today in politics, personality, presentation matter. And you know that as a guy who's in the media. You can say the same things, but if you say it in a really boring way, nobody cares. And he didn't get up there and behave in what I would describe. I was saying he needed to have the Hulk moment, you know? The shirt needed to split open, and he needed to be the big, bold, brave, proud and loud conservative, and it was kind of like, I can't really listen to this. It's too boring.
Mark, I think when you look at most of the polling data out there now, it's beginning to show a narrative where the Republicans will take back the House of Representatives, and there's a good chance that they're going to be able to retake by maybe one or two seats the U.S. Senate. My concern is McCarthy the guy to lead the House? Is McConnell still going to be the guy? Because they're the problem. And I think the American people see those two men as part of the problem.
I agree with you. I think they are the problem, and I don't think they are the people to lead in this moment. The question is anybody else strong enough to challenge them? It's really hard to win party leadership in Washington, D.C., and it kind of means you got to do a little bit of pleasing everybody. You got to be a lot of slippery in order to get into a leadership position. So I think these guys qualify for both of those, but I don't think they qualify for anything you or I would call real leadership.
And that's what we need. And I know Jim Jordan does not want the job. He said so many times on this radio program, but we need someone like him, someone who can lead troops into battle. And that's what this is. It is a political battle for the heart and soul of America. And we need people that are willing to take a stand and not capitulate to the other side of the aisle.
Yeah, look, you know, for me, if I had to choose one guy in Congress right now, I'm a Texan, so I might be biased, but I would choose Representative Chip Roy. I think he's been a bold spokesman for conservatism. I think he's refused to back down when others have backed down. I think he really is the definition of a real leader and a real warrior.
I like, and we've had him on the show a lot of times. That's an interesting choice. I never really thought about it. But he is a strong, I mean, the guy is a rock-solid conservative, no doubt about that. So Chip Roy. All right, we're going to put that on the list, Mark Meckler.
I like it.
All right, Mark, great work as always. And, of course, this poll was conducted by Trafalgar Group along with, in partnership with, Convention of States Action. And we have links to their website on our live show blog. Mark, always good hearing from you.
Thanks, Todd. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, you heard Mark on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We love these guys. Man, they are fighters, and they love our nation. They love our Lord. America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. That's who Patriot Mobile is, and they are proud partners with our radio program. By the way, they have some great deals and discounts for all of our listeners, and you can be assured of one thing, that when you pay your bill, a portion of that money is going to support causes that we care about. I want you to go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code when you get there, and you're going to be able to get free activation and a free gift. Now you say, well, okay, I live in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Is there Patriot Mobile coverage in Bartlesville, Oklahoma? Well, that's a great question. All you've got to do is go to their website and click on the Check Coverage page. And when you do, you can actually type in your address, and they will tell you exactly what sort of coverage they have in your neighborhood. So, again, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use the promo code Todd, and you're going to be supporting a great American-owned company. We'll be right back. I've been watching some of the images, and we've got these on the website. It's just unbelievable the amount of damage. There are some before and after photos that were taken in Fort Myers, where you had just row after row after row after row of trailers and homes, and now it's all gone. It's just all gone, like it's been wiped away. And more bridges, I mean, completely destroyed, complete destruction down there. Again, showing you the power of these violent winds and these rains. And by the way, tropical storm warnings now all the way up from, what, Jacksonville, Florida, Savannah, Charleston. You folks up in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, certainly not the magnitude of the storm, but you're still going to get hit with a lot of flooding rain. So you guys need to already be prepared because, again, the power out, 2 million people without power in Florida right now. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. The question is, if they told you to evacuate, would you have gotten out? Would you have evacuated, or would you have stayed put? Let's go to Germantown, Tennessee. Murph on our flagship station, KWAM. Murph, what would you have done?
Dr. Starnes, I'd have gotten out there faster than a New York second.
Yeah, you wouldn't have stayed around.
No, sir. The mass and the size of that Joker, not even close. It covered what, half the state in clouds. So anyway, I'd have gotten out of there so fast. Woo! But I also have a comment on your discussion with the current House Minority Leader. He's pretty much lukewarm because everything he is spouting, I would challenge or defy him to find anything in the U.S. Constitution that says that the federal government should fund the police in any way, shape, or form. That's Benito Mussolini in disguise and the Gestapo. The second thing is your commentary about our current chief executive or chief magistrate, as Johnny Adams used to call him. Let's keep him right where he is because the alternative is even worse.
Oh, she was at the DMZ today pledging her support to North Korea, for goodness sakes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And you know, Murph, something I just hate to say this. I don't think she thought she was making a mistake. I think she believes that.
Possibly. She's smoking California, home of the Black Panthers. What do you expect?
There you go.
And one more commentary. I don't know if you saw this on TV yesterday. The former senator from the state of Missouri, Miss, what's her name? McCausland or whatever her name is, talking to somebody on probably CNN or somebody about how the people in Florida will be very, very grateful for the federal government that they continue to dislike when it comes down there and rescues them.
Oh, McCaskill. You're Claire McCaskill.
Yes, sir. Where does that kind of mentality originate? We don't work for the federal government. Our tax dollars and our public servants work for us. And if more Americans would realize that and stand up, and that was the other thing that Representative McCarthy was spouting about, a parent's bill of rights, that's not constitutional either. So...
Murph,
they're just to placate people.
Look, the issue here is that McCarthy and the leaders of the Republican Party, they don't get it. I mean, when you look at what Glenn Youngkin did in the Commonwealth of Virginia, defying everybody's odds, and the reason why is because he went out there and he defended the state constitution or the Commonwealth's constitution, and.
Yes, sir.
And he went out there and he fought alongside these moms and dads with the school boards. Same thing Ron DeSantis did, and it worked. It was effective. And that kind of grassroots effort, McCarthy is just missing. He's missing the point of all of it.
I think so, too. And with all due respect to the Senate Minority Leader, he's a fine guy. But, gosh, he's been in there as long as Joe Biden was a senator, and it's just time for – get some new blood in there. So Josh Hawley would be perfect for that. But anyway, take care.
We got Kentucky bourbon that's older than McConnell. All right. Murf, good hearing from you, sir. That's Murf from Germantown, Tennessee. I think he's my neighbor. We've got to figure that out one of these days. I live in Germantown. By the way, when I moved there, I actually thought that Germantown was like conservative. But the school board is just as liberal as the day is long. I mean, Grace Baker, I was shocked.
Yeah, you didn't know what you were getting into there.
No, and it's a highbrow kind of we're better than you kind of liberal.
Oh.
It just really means just mean-spirited liberal.
Germantown's kind of its own little world.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's...
For better or for worse.
I wouldn't say, well, it is an upscale, I mean, it's probably the wealthiest zip code in the Memphis area. And some people don't know how to behave.
True.
By the way, the atheist got triggered by Governor Bill Lee, the Tennessee governor. He's putting out a call to prayer, and he wants people to pray and fast and be humble on Friday, tomorrow.
Man, so controversial.
Well, I will say this. It's hard to fast if you're going to a Friday night football game.
That is true. I don't do very well after I haven't eaten for a few hours. Y'all have seen me get hangry around here. It's not a pretty sight.
No, it's not at all. But anyway, so they're upset. They're saying it's un-American. It's un-American to issue a call to pray for the state of Tennessee.
No one's forcing you.
Nobody's forcing
you. You don't have to do it.
But the idea that it's un-American, I mean, how many times have we shared John Adams on this program, ladies and gentlemen, where he says our Constitution is wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people?
True that.
And I've seen some of those atheists. Trust me, they could stand to go on a fast for a day or two.
Would do them some good.
Or three. Maybe, yeah, take a walk. Get some exercise.
Fast and walk.
Thank you, Grace Baker. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Can we talk about Virgin Atlantic Airlines for just a moment here? What the heck is going on? So here's the story. Virgin Atlantic is announcing that they will no longer require gendered uniforms. And they're now handing out pronoun badges to crew members and customers. I will not wear a pronoun badge. I just will not do that. If a flight attendant, and is that what we got to call them, the flight attendant? They used to be stewardesses. If the stewardesses cannot figure out whether or not you are a guy or a gal, do you really want to trust them with getting you off the airplane when it crashes? I mean, just think about that for a moment. Virgin Atlantic says they are the most inclusive airline in the world, and now they're going to allow men to wear skirts. No, I'm not making this up. We've got the story on ToddStearns.com. They're also saying that women can dress like men, and men can dress like women. That's why they're going to be able to wear skirts. So I just want to throw this out there, and this is primarily for the men. But gentlemen, would you like to be served on an airplane by a man wearing a skirt with hairy legs? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, I know many of you are, you like to get ready early for the holidays, and I really would love to encourage you to get a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. We love that book and getting hundreds of reviews over on Amazon. You can read those first if you would prefer, and then you can get yourself not one but two copies. Happy to autograph those for you, and they make terrific little Christmas presents or birthday presents for someone in your family or your church circle. We would love to be able to do that for you. ToddStearns.com is the website. Click on the store, and you'll be able to get all the information there. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Gerald in Georgia. Gerald, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I'll say it again. Chip Roy for Speaker of the House, and that other gentleman that called and said Josh Hawley for leader in the Senate, I think that would be a great choice. And if I make a quick prediction, I think if they choose McCarthy, the Republicans choose McCarthy as the leader of Speaker of the House, then we're going to lose the House in 2 years. That's my prediction.
You know, Gerald, there are some grave concerns there, and I share yours as well. Going back to Paul Ryan, you know, everybody thought, oh, well, things are going to be great now that we got Crying Boehner out of the White House. Uh-huh. Remember that guy with the martinis and the leathered face? And it's like, dude, put down the cigarettes and get a facial. But, man.
But Chip Roy, I watch a lot of C-SPAN, and Chip Roy is on the House floor more than Kevin McCarthy by far. And Josh Hawley, man, he can really light a fire in those Senate hearings.
Yes, he can. Josh Hawley, I'm writing down Chip Roy. You know, Gerald, Chip Roy never crossed my mind, but you're the second person now on the show.
He's a good one. I mean, he'll stand up and he'll go after people in his own party on the House floor, you know, after why are you going out to dinner instead of being here debating these issues and things like that. That's the kind of guy we need in there, a person we need in there.
And we need somebody that's going to fight. Stand up and fight the Democrats. I'm tired of them capitulating, and it's always us. We're the party that always has to capitulate, not the Democrats.
Exactly. I know it.
All right, Gerald, I'm writing it down. Josh Hawley for Senate Majority Leader, Chip Roy for Speaker of the House. Good,
yes, sir.
Good having you on the show. Give us a call back one of these days. And ladies and gentlemen, what say you? Who would you like to see as leader of the Republicans in the Senate and the House. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, President Biden says that the word coming out of Florida is there is significant loss of life, significant, and it could be the worst hurricane to hit Florida in the history of the state. That's what they're dealing with right now. Also, pay attention, you people up on the eastern seaboard. They're expecting Tropical Storm Ian to increase back to hurricane status. In other words, you could be dealing with just some big problems here in the next couple of days. So pay very close attention. Listen to your radio. As a matter of fact, one of the big TV stations down there in that part of the country got knocked off the air because the whole building got flooded. And Grace Baker, turn your microphone on. I want to, you know, I get a lot of grief here in the building why we decided to locate our bunker on the second floor of the building.
I think I have an idea now.
That's right, because the first floors get flooded.
This is true. We'll be safe up here for a little bit.
So,
now, getting out might be an adventure.
More importantly, the equipment will be safe.
That's true. I think we need to keep a boat up here so that if it does flood and it reaches the second floor, we can just kind of sail out of here.
All right, I'll see.
Take it out the window.
I'll see what we can do, Grace Baker. I'll see what we can do. All right. Grace, I got to ask you about this story, though, about Virgin Atlantic Airlines. So they're letting the men wear the skirts now.
I saw that horrifying commercial.
May I just say, not very attractive.
No, not a fan. And no. I say horrifying commercial, it's because they were doing the jazz hands and stuff. It was like, ooh, the whole combination. I was like, this is just kind of creepy. I don't know.
So they're also requiring people to wear pronoun badges for employees and passengers. I will not do that. I would not do that.
I just want my pilot's pronouns to be qualified.
So they're modeling the... Yeah, I don't think that's an issue anymore. I really don't.
I mean, they're just choosing them now. Well, it was a while back, and I'm not saying it's this specific airline, but there were airlines that put out statements that were basically like, we're going to hire this number of woman pilots and this number of minority pilots. I'm like, I just want my pilot to not crash the plane. I don't give a rip what they look like.
That's respectable. And look, I think at the bare minimum, that is a fair request to make.
I mean, I just want to make it to my destination in one piece.
I mean, I remember when, right before, I got knocked out for heart surgery, I asked the doctor, I'm like, you're not an affirmative action hire, are you? Because you want the best, right? You don't want somebody there just because they're male or female or a specific skin color, right?
No, and then with the flight attendants, I just want them to be helpful and friendly. I forgot to tell you this. This was recently when I traveled up to DC. There was a flight attendant that, they're going over the little announcements, and then she was like, I loved her. She was Southern. She was coming back to Memphis. She was Southern. She's like, Memphis is my hometown. She was like, and now I love seeing y'all smiling faces. No more masks. Hooray! And she was like celebrating, and it was like half the plane was like, yeah, and the other half was like silent. And so, you knew they were the liberals.
Somebody just sent me a text message, and it's a photograph of a Scottish man in a kilt.
Oh,
and they said, well, is this transgender? No, this is not it's not Scottish Airlines.
This is not a heritage thing. They're not playing the bagpipes. They're handing me cookies.
So according to the New York Post, and they've got the big story up. I don't know why this is a big story, but apparently it is. As part of its progressive new policy, Virgin Atlantic has also updated its ticketing system to allow those who hold passports with gender-neutral gender markers to select U or X gender codes on their booking, as well as the gender-neutral title MX instead of the traditional Mr., Miss, or Mrs.
This is just getting too complicated.
Man, you know what? God made it so simple. Why are we confusing? Why are we making it more difficult?
Well, then it's going to be like the flight attendant calls you by your wrong pronouns. The next thing you know, you got a viral video of them going at it, flying.
Oh, that's it. And that happens on Southwest Airlines all the time.
Man, calling out Southwest.
Well, it is. It's the Greyhound bus of the air.
Dang.
It's like Walmart, after hours.
You don't know what's going to go down there.
Look, it's not like I'm telling this to a bunch of... We're family here on the radio, right?
We're just keeping it real.
Yeah, we won't talk to... Yeah, we don't want to let everybody know our business, but we all know what goes down at the Walmart. Right.
Especially after midnight.
I'm just saying. But the models they have for these in the New York Post, that's what I'm getting at, is they're not the most attractive.
They sound hideous.
They need to maybe more makeup.
Maybe more makeup. Maybe more contouring.
What is... Oh, yeah. That's
the bronzer.
Thank you.
You know, got to sculpt the face.
RuPaul's Drag Race star, Michelle Visage, is starring in Virgin Atlantic's campaign.
You butchered that, but okay.
I don't know. I don't know. You know how these the drag queens, their names have double meanings.
That's true.
You never know.
Got to be careful.
You do. So, starring in Virgin Atlantic's campaign promoting non-gendered uniforms. And on this one, the dudes are clearly wearing skirts and high heels. And I have to imagine that's very painful, especially, I mean, God forbid you hit turbulence.
Well, there'll be a draft, but you know.
But even the ladies, I mean, even the biological females don't wear the high heels during service. You know, they have their sensible.
I've never noticed.
Oh, they have sensible shoes.
That's fair. I wouldn't be wearing heels during that. You'd fall over.
I mean, back in the day, it used to be like really rigid. You know, they were called the stewardesses. And they had to weigh a certain amount, and they had to look a certain way. And, I mean, it was literally Pan Am, for example, Pan American Airlines, Pan Am. Everybody wanted to be a Pan Am. Back in the day, all the ladies wanted to be Pan Am stewardesses, fly the world with
Didn't
Pan Am.
That.
And they had to dress a certain way. Every time they got onto a flight, they were weighed. And if they were over a certain weight limit, they got booted from the flight. Yeah.
Dang.
It was a very, back in the day, Grace Baker, it was sort of like a frat house with wings.
That's what it sounds like. See, it's like too strict, right? Now we've gone the other way, that it's just like, what's going on here?
During that time, airline travel was very glamorous. I know some of our listeners might know this, because now it's just like you put your pajama pants on, and some people don't even do that. You know, and they just get on board the airplane. They smell. I sat across from a guy in first class once who took his shoes off and he cut his toenails.
Ew.
No, that's not the you part. He gave the clippings to the flight attendant.
Ew. Oh, man. I'd be like, they don't pay me enough to do that.
No. Did I tell you on my last flight, by the way, this is a flight horror story, coming back from Los Angeles, I thought I was ordering a burger, but it was the Impossible Burger.
Oh, no. What a disappointment.
It was impossible to eat. It was like eating earth. Like,
did it have beans? That seems like a flight
I don't
hazard.
Know. I got the taste of mushroom. I knew there were mushrooms in there, and I didn't want to ask what else it was.
I don't want to be downwind from all that.
I was wanting to roll down the window and just heave it over, you know, somewhere over Utah.
Give it to the birds.
I'm not sure the birds would eat that. But seriously, I mean, you know, airline travel is just complete. Now it's just you're getting there and you just pray nobody gets stabbed and nobody blows up the airplane.
And that your pilot is qualified.
Well, hopefully. But that's not a requirement. The most important thing these days is not the ability. It's what your sex and gender are. That's the most important thing.
No one even sees the pilot.
Nobody. That's why your kids are growing up stupid, because your teachers don't know how to teach. All they're there for is to help confuse your child about their pronouns. That's all.
Sad.
Just try getting the right change at Walmart. I will prove my point. Just go down there and give them cash and see what happens. They will freak out. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show. All right, I got another text message here. They said, Starnes, it's not Southwest. Southwest Airlines is not the Greyhound of the skies. It's Allegiant. Maybe Spirit Airlines.
See, those are the airlines that you find the deals online for, but it's like you don't read the fine print where it's like you have to walk the last 10 miles to your destination.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I know someone who is very well off, and they could afford to fly first class wherever they go if they wanted to. But they love flying those discount airlines like Spirit. Well, yeah. And he said, you know, why would I pay, you know, $1,000 on a first class ticket to Los Angeles when I can spend $25 or $40 on one of these discount budget airlines? And I said, but aren't you concerned? I mean, you kind of get what you pay for. And he had actually thought all of this through. And he said, you know, if I'm going to die in a plane crash, I would rather die knowing I only spent $45 for the ticket.
Wow.
I would prefer not to die at all.
And I was going to say, I would be thinking, wow, what a cheap death. I could have gone out in a blaze of glory on Delta in the first class, eating my Impossible Burger.
Yeah, but the other part of that is, you know, if the plane is going to nosedive, I mean, if you're in the back of the plane, you're going to have about a split second or two to realize, uh-oh, it's gone. If you're in the front of the plane, you don't know what, all of it, you're taking a bite of the Impossible Burger, and the next thing you know, you're at the right-hand side of Jesus, and he's giving you a bucket of chicken.
This is a good point. Bucket of chicken.
Eat poultry. Yes, I don't know.
Oh, because after you had the Impossible Burger, you got to have some protein
because it's
journey over.
Yeah, they're not going to have Impossible Burgers in heaven. You know, they're going to have meat. Barbecue.
Just as God intended.
Doubled eggs. No, they'll call them heavenly eggs, I guess.
Oh, that's true. That's a little sacrilegious.
That's true. Oh, my goodness gracious. Can we talk about Lizzo for just a moment?
Do we have to?
So, what is the deal there? Does she bask in her gluttony?
She is.
She's proud of her.
Big and proud.
She's proud of her roles, of her fat roles. Is that?
That's accurate.
I mean, because she does. She dresses rather provocatively.
Yes. She wears things that.
Well, hold on. It's really not provocative. It's just a couple of sizes too small.
Yeah. But she wears things that I'm like, man, if my mama saw me in that, I'd be in trouble.
So your mother would not let you go out in public dressed like Lizzo.
No, definitely not.
So what's the deal here? So she's a very talented musician, by the way.
She is.
I mean, very. She's not, you know, again, you have these artists that get up there and maybe they're auto-tuned or whatever.
True.
Pulling the Milli Vanilli. But she actually is a very talented musician and she plays the flute, which is a very difficult instrument to play. So anyway, she was in Washington, D.C. And the way I understand it, she was invited to actually play the flute that belonged to James Madison, and it is an 1813 crystal flute. And the Library of Congress made the arrangements for her to come and play this flute.
Yes. And I saw the video of her doing it there, and it was quite nice.
So everybody in the conservative world is going bonkers over this. And they're saying it's disrespectful, that it's shameful. And, I mean, everybody is attacking Lizzo. And I watched the video from the Library of Congress, and I thought I thought it was perfectly fine. As a matter of fact,
conservatively.
Well, so to speak.
Okay, you know what I mean. She's covered.
Yes, she wasn't buck naked or something.
No.
And she's in there, and I'm watching this. And she's so respectful. I love how it's not like she just, what's this? And just drops the crystal flute, you know.
Oopsie daisy.
But she's very respectful. And she actually asked, may I pick it up? And they're like, of course you can. And I just thought it was a great moment in American history.
Yes.
I didn't see that she did anything out of the ordinary except, you know, twerk. But there was this little flute flutter. I don't know what you call it. But it's when the flautist does
make
a
the noise.
You know, that.
There you go.
And all of a sudden, you know, she's, she's gyrating her buttocks, nether regions.
She was just getting in the, you know, in the song.
If you're over 40, don't do that. You're going to throw something out of alignment.
This is true. Please don't.
Her real name is Melissa Vivian Jefferson. What a lovely name. Why go by Lizzo?
Because it's quicker to say.
I know, but her name is Melissa Vivian Jefferson. It's a very nice name. I'm sure her mother was like, honey, why can't you just go by, you know, your given name?
Gotta be different, Todd. Gotta be different.
So then she takes that beautiful moment, and then she plays in the concert, is my understanding.
That's the problem.
Okay, and then she posted something. She posted a very inappropriate word.
Yes.
Saying that I just twerked and played James Madison's crystal flute from the 1800s. And people are going bonkers.
Well, in this video also, Todd, she is dressed
Well, it's a concert.
Not conservatively.
No, no, but it's a
concert. Just to clarify, we're talking about two separate videos.
You're going to go see Lizzo, not the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Very true. And, you know, that video, I don't know. I think people just leave it alone.
May I just say this? Mm-hmm. And again, I know Matt Walsh and everybody else is all upset about all of this. I think she was respectful to the history. And I think she should be commended for that. And if nothing else, she introduced a lot of young people to American history. And I think that's a good thing. We got to stop erasing our history. We got to embrace our history, understand it, and teach the next generation. Just maybe ease up on the, you know, twerking.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Not as tired as she used to get, gives her energy to do things around the house.
I really appreciate it. I really like your product. I'm happy with it.
You don't have to really think about it anymore. You've got it, and it's in your diet. Regularity, let's put it that way. Food's very good.
Because I don't always eat my vegetables and fruit, so I know I'm better with it.
No more energy and just feeling pretty good overall. Seems to work so far. No complaints.
I feel something good. I can't point my finger on, but I feel good in general.
I do have a little bit more energy, you know, do stuff after work, whereas before I didn't really want to do stuff and just wanted to sit around.
I think I have a little more energy. I'm an older, disabled person, and I don't always eat properly. Just feeling a little stronger that way.
Start your journey to better health. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code BALANCE.